Welcome to Dentists, Implants, and Worms, helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time. As always, from day one, this episode is brought to you by Boyd's Wine and Spirits on Mount Rushmore Road in Rapid City, South Dakota. The finest selection of bourbon and wine for miles around with cold beer, a growler station, and rock bottom prices. Now, here are your co-hosts, Drs. Justin Moody and Randy Huska.
Welcome to another episode of Dentist Implants and Worms. Helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time. We are live DS World. We have the T-Bone.
You keep bringing me on. And who are we brought to you by this week?
Well, it's Boyd Wine Spirits, okay. Mount Rushmore Road. There's nothing else other than that. This is Worms 2.0 with my new co-host, Randy Huska.
The official.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not just a mascot anymore.
Randy, when did you become a co-host?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
And what is the pay structure on this?
It's the same as it was when I wasn't a co-host.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, well, he used to keep the pass, you know, the pathway.
Yeah, okay. That is worth a lot of money, so I'll take that any day.
Why give him any money if you don't have to?
Exactly.
Randy, where are you at with the associate, man?
we may have talked a little bit about this right before.
We did discuss it.
I mean, did you not see Justin just talk to his associate?
Yeah, that's a whole nother office.
What does it matter if it's somewhere else or in the same place? Did you see the level of what he was able to talk to her about and the flexibility he has in his life? I mean, come on, dude. Just get with the program.
Yeah, I'm getting closer.
All right, well, your legs aren't getting any closer to the ground sitting in that chair.
I feel like I'm a little kid in a high chair.
Love you, Randy. Just so you know, I do love you.
It's outstanding. Congratulations! You did. You kicked off Cyril World on the stage.
Well, I was the third or fourth speaker technically, because they had Samir came out, and then Don Casey came out, and then the CFO came out, and then I came out.
Yeah, well, you're the first clinician that anyone cared about. So,
well, I was probably the first clinician. So, no. Listen, I got to tell you, I was. That's the fourth time I've been on the main stage with them. The last time I did the main stage, we had 7,000 or 8,000 people in attendance, and I did all on six surgery in front of everybody. I was nervous, but I was more nervous yesterday for some reason. I don't know why, but I was more nervous yesterday than I was doing the all on six surgery. And part of that nervousness, there's some politics behind the nervousness, but a lot of it is there's so much I want to share and so much I want to do, but when you only have 15 minutes, it's really hard. I think it's so hard to boil down your message into 15 minutes. And then when you have the legal team having to approve everything, with people like me, having legal teams involved is a little bit complicated, if you ask me.
Yeah. You did get your favorite father joke in, though.
Yeah, I mean, I have to.
That's mandatory.
The trophy husband?
No, that's a new one. You guys haven't seen me talk about my trophy husband status.
No, that was good. Yeah. That was good. And the two out of three thought you were the dad of the year or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's an old study.
That's an old study? Has it gotten worse on you?
A new study might be one out of three, and only if my daughter would say yes, okay? But only if I had done something. She is hot or cold. So literally it can change.
It could be zero of three at any given point.
I'm guaranteeing you the highest number will be one out of three now. Okay.
So you'd have to campaign for it.
I would have to make sure that I provide them something advance.
Some shopping.
I would have to make sure that it's not a day where I asked him, you know, where I tried to be a real father and tell him what was going on and not going on. And then I might get one. I'll never get three out of three.
Okay, no.
That's impossible. But but I think that's part of life is dealing with children. But
yes. Yeah. Yeah.
No, so I was nervous. I really enjoyed myself doing it. I've had a hit or miss time at the meeting.
Yeah. What's new at 3D Dentist? Tell us about 3D Dentist. Yeah, How's the retreat going? Yeah,
thank you. Thank you for asking me about that. Number one, I've been on the podcast several times, and what I love is that even though we compete with each other in a sense, we're still we do. Okay,
yeah, the East Coast West Coast thing, kind of like a gang.
Yeah, dude, who am I, Biggie? I'm Biggie, dude. I'm Biggie. You can be Tupac, or is Tupac? Is which one is it?
Oh, well, you're both dead.
Well,
yeah, I don't like that analogy.
I'm going to tell you the way these three of us look, we probably won't be around very long. I mean, health statistics tell us that the fact that I have a patch on that measures my blood sugar nonstop is probably a good sign that it's not good. No, but thank you for asking for 3D Dentist. You know, we have the retreat. So that started in February. That has gone great. It has been phenomenal.
And you're going to get a pickleball court, I heard last night.
Well, you know, I have a budget of $5,000.
I was going to make it.
So if Tom is willing to come do any work, which I'm sure he doesn't do any manual labor, we can get a pickleball court. But
he doesn't have his own construction company?
I don't know. You never know. And So, the retreat's been going well. It's phenomenal. It allows us to engage with people, which is amazing. And for my personality, that's fantastic. I've really enjoyed cooking breakfast. I've enjoyed cooking dinners most of the time. It's been really nice. As of October of 2021, is that the year we're in right now?
Yeah, it appears to be.
Yeah. October, November, following in your footsteps, we'll be opening our nonprofit dental office. Just outside Raleigh and Durham, so I'm excited about that. When somebody is showing you a path, and that's not a pun on pathway, but when somebody's showing you a way, and you like what they're doing, you should try to redo it. And so I love what you're doing, and so we're trying to offer that to people within our digital environment that we are big proponents of, and that we focus highly on. So that's enough, I think, for right now. So if you had asked me in January of this year, I wouldn't have said that the retreat was possible or even on our mind. And I would have said the nonprofit office was a lofty goal that I would have probably hoped to have done in a couple of 3 years. But things show up. And like everything else in life, you have to be ready to jump on opportunities. And that's kind of why I'm big on having a financial flexibility savings plan, because that savings plan really allowed us to be able to make decisions quickly to move on the retreat, to close very quickly, and to do the nonprofit clinic without having to go beg for money. So that was very important to me, was to not have to stop and ask and really just kind of keep moving forward. So that's what's new.
I think it's great. When we went down that nonprofit path, we worked at another one.
Yeah.
And it showed me like how to do it. And I was like, I'm going to go and I'm going to build it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we enjoy is like, I think there's an opportunity that doesn't exist anywhere else really much in the world. And that is like, these patients are going to get treatment that they could have never, ever afford.
Yeah.
Like it's not possible for them to have been able to afford what we're going to do for them. So at the end, the patient wins.
Yeah.
And the dentists are going to get an experience and a skill set that they can take back to their practice and then treat how many people, in their careers? Like
hopefully hundreds of thousands.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, we get the opportunity to train the docs and we get to make a living. And so there's no loser,
Dentistry wins.
Dentistry wins. People win. Yeah. The community wins.
Your patients are going to win because I assume they're going to get restored.
Yeah, absolutely. Those that choose for restoration, we offer that.
And there's no end of patients that can't afford dentistry.
Yeah, I absolutely. Dentistry is surprisingly expensive. Anybody that argues with me, oh, dentistry not expensive, they got a value. I'm like, dude, have you worked for $15 an hour in your life?
Ooh,
I mean,
I've worked for $3 an hour in my life.
But what I'm saying is not even from because of an age thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in the modern world, if you work $15 an hour, you can't afford You have a hard time affording a single tooth implant.
A flipper.
Much less all these other things, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So, you know, one of the things that's important to me in our nonprofit that we're doing is I'm an immigrant. You know, I am, in my opinion, my parents are the...
Did you get whipped by the guys on the horses?
No, my dad did beat me with a hanger once for something or another, probably making an A-minus or something. You know,
right,
well-deserved.
Right.
Well-deserved. I have a soft spot for immigrants.
Sure.
And I want to help the working poor. Or the working class person. I shouldn't even say the working poor, the working class. Because look, in the United States of America, if you make no money, there's options available to you to get basic levels of dental care. If you make plenty of money, like all of us, obviously options available to you. But it's that person that barely makes ends meet that can't have something provided for them. And that's what you guys are doing at Pathway. That's what we're trying to do at 3D Dentist is provide. And here's my fear, and here's why I think it's important, and here's why I want other dentists to do what we're doing in terms of the nonprofit. If we as a profession don't address these issues, the government will.
Yes.
And when the government does, they typically don't do it
right.
They don't do it friendly to us. Correct. They'll do it friendly to the corporations.
Yeah.
But they won't do it friendly to us. And so
they'll make it so complicated it's almost impossible to do.
And so if we don't address access to care, if we don't address that charity, quote unquote, charity dentistry is basically triage dentistry, if we don't address those things, that's going to be bad for our profession in the long run. And another thing, and again, I might say things that are controversial or some people may not like it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters to me, but it is what it is. Another thing that bothers me is why aren't we taking care of our own before we're going outside and helping others?
Correct.
So why we have poor people in the United States of America,
right?
You know, we have people with problems here that need help. Why can't we take care of our community before we go help other communities first? And so that's always been important to me as well. Look, I want to help India too, but I got to help the 5 to 7 mile or 10 mile or 20 mile radius around my office first.
Listen, we went, we used to do our courses in Guadalajara, like then I sought something in the U.S. and there was, I think I've spoken a ton about like, you know, who knows if they ever got any restorations, you know, like who knows if they even knew what the hell we were doing because we couldn't communicate with them. And yes, there's a lot of, you know, poorer people in Guadalajara, Mexico than there are here. But the truth is that, you know, we're located in Phoenix, the fifth largest city in the U.S. There's other teaching entities doing what I do in the area,
and more and more will be there.
Yeah, and there is absolutely no chance we'll be able to take care of them. Like, there's no chance. No. Like, because I've heard you speak about this, and I don't know what your number is, but like, all these dentists at at DS World. What are they? Are they competing for the top 4 or 5% of the population?
Maybe 10% at max.
You know, and the DSOs may stretch that to like 15.
Yep.
And
they know the market they serve.
100%. Like they get to stretch that. But what about the other 85%?
Yeah. What about the teachers? What about the firefighters? What about the policemen?
Absolutely.
My mom. I remember. You know, I was young. I mean, I was in 10th grade or 11th grade. So I mean, I didn't understand the value of money or anything. I remember looking at her first paycheck as a teacher. And I kind of laughed, you know, but all these years later, it tells me that if we didn't have my dad's income, how
you wouldn't be here.
I wouldn't have been maybe I would have been a dentist, maybe not.
Maybe
right. I wouldn't have taken on the loans to go to dental school at that point. I don't know. And you know, you never know, the person that we help may become somebody that gets inspired.
Correct.
To do something amazing for other people. And I'm a big believer. Like, I've helped out a local restaurant owner get started, and he's asked how he can repay me. I said, you just do this for somebody else. You know, that's the best way.
Pay it forward.
Yeah. You know, so that's important.
Every day I get asked on some sort of message board if there is anywhere like what Moody's doing on the other side of the country. Yeah. So
yeah, thank you. I'd love that.
No, like you mentioned, like I'm sure. Yes, we probably do compete for dentists, but I would make a I would make a point that they need to learn from both of us.
Yeah, well,
because they don't just need T-Bone's like view of what it is, and they don't just need mine, but like they need a blend of the both.
Yeah,
you know, because you know. I believe that you at least have to have a knowledge and an understanding of freehand implant dentistry to truly appreciate what a guide and the technology will do for you.
You got to be able to fix sometimes when the guide doesn't work. Right. I just had that on
the
floor.
I got a question for you.
Week. Yes, sir.
I just had it last week. Yep.
If an implant falls in the forest, do they hear it?
Especially when it doesn't have any threads. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But now we have new threaded implants.
I heard in 2021. I heard if we put more threads on an implant, it might stay better. So, anyway, but yeah, we send people to you, and it's not because like we feel you're a friend. Like you've come and taken
courses from you guys,
and you've let us come. There's a chunk of our faculty that has taken courses from you,
absolutely.
And you opened your facility to us, and
you've done the same. So,
correct.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure people look at their heads like, what is wrong with those two? And
well, we want to be helpful.
Listen, yeah. I would come across country and do anything.
Look, there's 100,000 dentists out there. We can't service 10,000 of them. I mean,
no, can't service 1,000 of them.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, I mean, come on.
Right.
And if our true intention is to help dentistry and help our profession, then we shouldn't compete with each other, but we should enhance each other.
For sure.
Right? And so to me, my goal is to enhance dentistry, right?
Yep.
Now, I know we have some time issues here. I want to talk about something that was the main message for me in my talk on Thursday morning, and that is busyness is the enemy. A thing that I'm seeing a lot right now is people are starting to mislead dentists and to propagate the myth that we are dumb businessmen. And the truth is 99% of people are dumb business people, right? So I don't think dentistry requires great business skills to have a successful practice that provides a great living for yourself and your family and provide for your retirement. I just don't think. You might want to put it on selfie mode.
I'm getting there.
And wide angle for the three of us.
Fuck you guys.
And
oh, fuck it.
So but why is everything in dentistry all about the business? You know, the business. And it's so annoying to me. And really what I think is busyness is the enemy.
There we go.
Busyness is the enemy. And it's our busyness. Because all of these people issues, all of these business issues didn't exist when our practices were starting and we had more time. It's the busyness of patient care and the business of life that has got in the way. And so I'm a big believer that every time we try to grow our practice, I actually slow it down. I take more clinical time away for a period of time so that we can install the things that we want to make room for and install the process we want to put in place. And then the other thing was this comma versus decimal mentality. We can't save ourselves to prosperity. And when the leader of the practice, the owner of a practice, has a penny-saving mentality, that propagates down to your team members, and they start being penny pinchers, and it's not a growth-focused mindset.
Correct.
And so a comma mentality is focused on the growth. And that's why I'm on Randy about, and Randy's not a comma decimal thing, but that's why I'm on Randy about wanting to get an associate, because an associate alleviates the busyness issue. Because Randy, your issue right now is what? You're busy.
Busy.
Right, you're busy. And the busyness even stops you from even thinking about doing the associate, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
It gets in the way, right? Oh, my God, I'm going to have to stop. I'm going to have to train somebody. I'm going to have to interview people. I got all this going on. And so to me, it's not a business issue that dentistry has. It's a busyness issue. And we've got to slow down. We've got to keep, you know, when people say to me, hey, I'm working on block scheduling. I said, let me tell you something about 1980s and 1990s block scheduling. That was built on achieving 100% of your production. Sorry, your production using 100% of your schedule. So what I say is I have nothing against block scheduling. I believe in blocks. But my challenge is whatever your goal is, you need to hit it in 75% of your day and leave 25% of your day empty. And so, Randy, if you, for example, if you had 25% of your day empty every day at the morning, purposely empty, would you fill it that day?
Could I or would I?
Could I? Could you?
Easily.
Easily. And you'd probably put the most profitable procedures in that 25% of your time,
right?
That
would be the goal.
That would be the goal, right? And so that's what I find with people. People say my best days are my Fridays off. I'm like, because it's an empty schedule, right? So make part of your schedule empty. So I've always worked on achieving my financial goals in my practice in a 75% model. In other words, you know, in an 8-hour day, I try to hit my goal, my daily goal, in 6 hours. That doesn't mean I don't want to work 8 hours. It means I want to schedule the types of blocks that I have to hit my goal within 6 hours so that I have room for growth. The problem is we've been taught to hit it 100% of the time. And then when we want to grow, how do we grow? At that point, it comes down to, oh, if I can shave 10 minutes off here, if I can shave 10 minutes off there, if I can cure in 1 second instead of 20 right. seconds, if I can dovetail the schedule and do this and that. And then when things don't go exactly right, the day turns into a shit show.
Oh.
You know, and we all know how that works, right?
That's when you start sweating.
That's right. And that's when Randy, everybody in his team knows things are not good when Randy gets the bead of sweat on his forehead.
I agree. I like the busyness thing. I like the decimal and the comma thing. I think that is I heard a lot of, it's kind of interesting. What I truly love about meetings when your friends are up on the stage, I love to sit in the group and I love to listen to what people say about your lecture around it. And there were people, the majority of them were just like, I really took home like the decimal, the comma thing.
Yeah.
You know, like it resonated with some people. And I even saw on Facebook, like, you know, people showed that picture and they're just this is my take home from Tebow.
You know, I listened to a guy, I listened to podcasts, non-dental ones even, imagine that. And I was listening to a guy talking about giving memorable talks when you talk to people. And he said the number one mistake is you want to leave people with one thought. Okay. And that's it. So if you're doing any program that's less than an hour or less, your goal is to leave them with one thought.
Yep.
One thought, and you have to have one overarching message, and you need to repeat it over and over and over again. And so I want to leave people with one message. Now, my message my overarching message wasn't the decimal and comma point.
It was the busyness one.
It was the busyness is the enemy issue.
Okay? You inadvertently ended up having two, though.
Yeah.
Because it spoke to a lot of people.
Right, it did. And that was there purposely because I think, and look, I love Sarek. Okay, love the technology, right? I love digital impressions. I love same-day dentistry. Right. I love all of those things. And I try to correct people anytime they say, can I afford it? I'm doing 10 crowns. I go, it's the wrong mentality. It's the wrong question. That is decimal point thinking. You're thinking about, hey, can I literally just move one line item from left to right? You know, and so one of the things I learned very early in my career from my dad when I was struggling is I'd be like, Dad, I got to find a way to save money. And he goes, you got to find a way to bring in revenue. Everything has to be about revenue in. It's look, the key to winning at business is how much revenue are you bringing in? Every thought you make is about revenue in. And so when I think about revenue in, that also controls my revenue out.
Yep.
Because if you're focused on the revenue in, the revenue out, A, takes care of itself, but then you don't expenditure money without thinking about how is it going to help me revenue in, right? And so to me, I don't want to buy something just because it saves me 30 seconds or an hour or what. I want to bring it because it's going to help me expand my clinical services, help patients say yes faster. So I try to have a decimal mentality. It's hard. Sorry, I try to have a comma mentality. It's hard as an Indian because we're always trying to save money. So we're naturally born to have decimal mentality, but I try to have comma mentalities, and it really applies to CE. You know, there's a reason that people that take CE win in practice.
There is, at a
greater rate than people that don't take CE.
For sure.
And so, you know, you just get yourself around people. And that's a nice thing about meetings like this, okay? Take politics aside. You just get around
people.
Excited people.
And it's been fun. Like, I couldn't thank you enough for taking we took away from Davil and your time with Davil.
Right.
But
that's good.
We appreciate you sitting here. You know, like, you're our friend in the industry. Yeah. Like, whatever you need, we'll...
We're going to help dentistry.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have no doubt.
We're going to help. Listen, I'm going to start this right now, officially speaking. If anybody would like to be an associate in South Dakota at the practice of Huska Family Dentistry, he does not know it, but he is looking for an associate.
He is looking for an associate we speak.
As we speak. So you can his headhunter is T-Bone or Justin Moody.
Yeah.
Okay, we will do all the work for you in filtering everybody out. All you have to do is be committed to making it happen. You got to pay for it because I ain't paying for it. But okay, Justin might want to pay for it, but there's an Indian in me that's not paying for it.
Oh, there must be an Indian in Moody because he ain't paying for it.
Hey, I learned some tricks this weekend. I bring my own sodas to the fucking the restaurants now. So
and Justin, thank you for buying dinner the other night. I did attempt to pay at least. But I only attempted to pay because I don't mind buying wine for people. I don't have an issue with that. I have an issue buying colas, sodas for people at dinners. Like it hurts me. It hurts me to pay for dinner when people buy. It drives. You know what's worse than soda is when people ask for bottled water at restaurants or that what's that bubbly water? I don't know, like Pellegrino.
Yeah,
that one drives me completely bonkers. Completely bonkers because you know all the water at restaurants is filtered. You know the tap water is filtered, so it's and it comes in ice and it tastes damn good. So I don't. Oh, my God. Just drives me crazy.
Thanks for being on, brother.
Thank you, Justin. Thanks, Randy.
All right. We will catch you on another episode, my friend. From Dennis Implants and Worms in Las Vegas, we'll see you next time.
That concludes another episode of Dentists, Implants, and Worms. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling a friend and throwing 5 stars at us on iTunes. Catch you on another episode. And don't forget the fireball. Cheers.